Everyone started to run and see what was happening. The people started to stretch their necks to see over the person in front of them. The young children crawled between the legs of the adults to see if they could gaze upon what was happening. Tradition would tell that there were two entrance parades in Jerusalem that Sunday. From the west, Pontius Pilate was entering Jerusalem. He had traveled down from the seat of government in Caesarea. Pilate was coming to Jerusalem because of the celebration of Passover. He would not observe the feast, but he wanted to be close, just in case, because of a demonstration against the Roman government. From the east side, a man riding upon a donkey. And there were people racing in front of the man on the donkey, throwing palm leaves and clothes in his path. People started to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd that gathered along the way started to catch the excitement, and they began to shout and run alongside the parade. As they were running, some in the crowd turned to another and asked, "Who is this man? Why are we shouting our hosannas? Is he a king?" And the other turned and said, "Yes, we think he's a king. He is a king, the king of the Jews. See, he is riding on a donkey, as it says in Scripture, that the Messiah would come." And the two of them ran off with the crowd, caught up in the excitement of the moment. We can be like that too, often, caught up in the excitement of the moment. A young man walked up the sidewalk toward his home late one Friday afternoon and was greeted by his two children, his two young children. They laughed and bounced with more than the usual amount of excitement of dad coming home. "Daddy, daddy," the three-year-old started to say, "there's a..." And the five-year-old stuffed his palm vigorously across the three-year-old's mouth. The three-year-old wrenched free, eyes still sparkling. "Daddy, Mommy, and Jason and I got a..." The hand closed across the mouth again, followed by these firm words from the five-year-old. "Sarah, if you don't keep quiet, Daddy's going to know there's a surprise party for him inside." After a moment of awkward silence, the five-year-old flushed. Dad artfully pretended not to have heard a word. He hugged both children and laughed, and all three raced into the house. The children could hardly contain themselves with the excitement of the moment. They knew something exciting was going to happen, and they couldn't hold it inside. When the people saw Jesus riding into Jerusalem that day, they knew that something exciting was happening. They knew that Jesus was riding as the Messiah would, and they thought they knew what that meant. They thought it meant they would be free from the Romans. They thought it meant that Jesus was going to be their king. They were excited now and celebrated, rejoicing at the picture that was forming in their mind, a picture of a king who would save them, a picture of a nation reborn, a picture of a people who would be free to be a mighty nation again. They celebrated. They danced down the street. They shouted hosannas. And then just a few short days later, the same crowd cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." They learned that the picture which was developing in their mind's eye was not the picture that Jesus was painting for himself. Jesus was painting a picture of a suffering Messiah, one who would suffer for the sins of all people so that they might have eternal life. The people cried, "Crucify him," not because they understand that he was to be the suffering Messiah, but because Jesus did not fulfill their expectations. The people cried, "Crucify him," because Jesus had let them down. The people cried, "Crucify him," because they wanted a warrior king, someone who would lead them into battle. But Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. The people missed the point, and they were angry. What about us? Do we get the point? Or are we more like the boy in the following story? A bunch of kids, one summer afternoon, engaged in a peewee baseball game. When one of the little guys came up to the plate, he looked over to the coach for a signal. The coach signaled, "Sacrifice bunt." The little kid promptly proceeded to take three big swings and strike out. The coach ran up to him afterwards and said, "Didn't you see me give you a signal to sacrifice?" "Yes," the boy replied, "but I didn't think you really meant it." "But I did not really think you meant it." Is that how we react to Jesus? We really don't think maybe he meant it. Maybe he didn't mean to be the suffering Messiah. Are we like the crowd in our text, still wanting Jesus to be the conquering hero? Or do we get it? Do we understand? Do we understand that instead we get a Messiah who gives us power, all right, but it's a whole new kind of power? It is the power of suffering love. It is a power that looks us in the eyes, forgives our sin, forgives our fear, forgives our anger, forgives our resentment, forgives our judgmental attitudes towards others, forgives our prejudices. It's a power that did not assert itself over us or against us. It is a power that died for you and me. It is a power that sets us free from all that is within us, that dehumanizes us and others. It's a power that loosens our grip on all our expectations and enables us to see Christ's face in the least and most lowly on this planet. It is a power that comes to us in grace and invites us to join him in being one of the special grace givers. It is a power that assures each of us we do not need to be afraid of suffering. It is a power that assures each of us we don't need to be afraid of self-giving love, because it is the only way we fulfill our humanity, the way we find purpose and experience true joy and peace. One of my favorite authors, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wrote, "God allows himself to be edged out of the world and onto the cross. And that is the way, the only way, in which he can be with us and help us. Only a suffering God can help." The crowds on that first Palm Sunday wanted a warrior king, but Jesus came as the suffering Messiah, as one who would die on a cross for the sake of humankind and for the sake of you and me. This morning, what about each of us? Do we get it? Is Jesus the suffering Messiah for us? Or are we still looking for a warrior king who will turn the world upside down? Do we see Jesus as the suffering Messiah who did turn the world upside down for our sake and continues to shape the world with his love and grace? Do we see Jesus as the suffering Messiah who transformed his children into his image over a lifetime? During this season of Advent, a parade gathers. Adults and children alike are getting excited. We see Jesus coming. But what Jesus do you see? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.